Hi, this is Kelly, and you're listening to the Chemist Corner podcast for Wednesday, March 3rd, 2010.
Welcome to Chemist Corner. I'm your host, Perry Romanowski, and with me is my co-host, Kelly Dobos. Hello, Kelly.
Hi, Perry.
Chemist Corner is a podcast about cosmetic science and is broadcast to help educate, entertain, and inspire current and future cosmetic scientists. The information and opinions discussed on Chemist Corner are those of the hosts and the guest alone. They do not necessarily reflect those of any past, present, or future employers. In this episode, we'll be talking about the science of viscosity, covering some industry science news, and finishing up with a beauty science challenge. So, how are you, Kelly?
I'm good. Pretty busy.
Yeah? Did you formulate the hell out of this week?
No, not too much formulating this week. Getting ready for several trips coming up this month.
Oh, that's right. You're going to really rack up the frequent flyer miles this month.
I will be. I'll be visiting the American Academy of Dermatologists Conference coming up in Miami.
That's excellent. Well, that sounds like lots of fun. All right, you ready to talk about the news?
Yeah, we have some interesting topics today, I see.
That's right. All right, our first news is about Albert Kligman. Did you hear that Albert Kligman died?
I did. Albert Kligman was quite a prolific researcher in cosmetic science.
He was. It turns out he passed away on February 9th at the ripe old age of 93. I could only hope to live at least that long, right? Kligman was famous in the dermatology world as he was widely credited as the person who invented the widely used acne medication Retin-A. He was the author of hundreds of scientific papers and wrote about things like athlete's foot, dandruff, and acne. Kligman was also the first scientist to test and debunk the myth that chocolate made acne worse. He coined the term photoaging to describe wrinkles and discoloration that comes from overexposure to the sun, and he also coined the term cosmeceutical to describe products that were both drugs and cosmetics. And finally, he did some work that led directly to the treatment for poison ivy, although there is a little controversy about that work, huh?
Yes, Kligman was notorious for experimenting on inmates at the Holmesburg prison in Philadelphia. And actually, some of that work triggered newer federal restrictions on human testing.
So when people say, like, well, they should just test stuff on prisoners, Kligman actually took that to heart and did it?
Yeah, and that's quite questionable. The World Medical Association created some guidelines in 1964 in the Declaration of Helsinki about human treatment in clinical trials. And it says that in research on man, the interests of science and society should never take precedence over considerations related to the well-being of the subject. So in some ways, it seems like he didn't quite follow along with that, because some of the experiments performed were on cosmetics like shampoos and deodorants, but there were also experiments with radioactive, hallucinogenic, and toxic materials.
Ew.
And in fact, some of the prisoners went through with a lawsuit later in 2000. However, the statutes of limitations had expired and the case was dismissed.
So those are the people that got tested on? They sued Kligman and the university, I imagine?
Yes, and I believe there's a book written on the subject called Acres of Skin from a quote that he, I guess when he first went to the prison and saw all of the inmates, you know, he said it was like a farmer looking at, you know, acres of field. He had seen acres of skin. Probably an interesting read for anyone who has time.
Wow. That is an interesting quote. Well, he certainly did make a significant contribution to the field of cosmetic science, although it sounds like at least some of his research was a little sketchy, huh?
Right. It's just a reminder for us researchers that we all have to keep in mind good clinical practices and the safety of our subjects when doing any kind of testing. The safety of the subject is paramount.
That's right. Unless the subject is yourself, and then it doesn't matter.
if that you're willing to take.
You know, I did have the most shampooed head in America in 2003. Did I ever tell you that?
I believe this. You've told me that many times.
All right, let's move on to our next story. Actually, I saw you had tweeted this, and you can follow Kelly on Twitter. Just look up Kelly Dobos on Twitter. You had tweeted this story about Dr. Leslie Bauman getting a nasty letter from the FDA.
Yes, apparently she was discussing a new treatment for wrinkles similar to Botox that was in phase 3 of clinical trials, and she was promoting the product, but according to the FDA, that's a big no.
So she was out on the media trail telling people about this this new anti-wrinkle drug and how great it was?
Yeah, she had spoken to several magazines and I believe a major news network morning show.
Ah, so it sounds like she jumped the gun a little bit because the drug wasn't approved or something?
Right. The drug is in phase 3 clinical trials, which is the largest trial done before a product is going to market.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I was reading the article about this story in the New York Times, and there was another doctor, Dr. Frederick Brandt. He is quoted as saying that because he's one of these dermatologists that talks to beauty magazines, and actually he has this event in Manhattan every year where he invites all the beauty editors, and he just tells them all about the new drugs and products coming out. So anyway, he told the New York Times that this worried him that the FDA was being a little more aggressive than they had been, because he will continue to talk to journalists about products in the pipeline, but might limit future comments to scientific facts and published studies.
That seems like a very reasonable thing to do.
You know, I would just think that I would have thought that he was already limiting his comments to scientific facts and published studies.
Well, I think that shows us that even though the information may be coming from a doctor or a dermatologist, you still have to be skeptical about that recommendation.
All right, Kelly, you ready for a reader's question?
Yes.
Boy, I tell you what, we are just inundated with emails from people. But keep them coming. We love emails from our fans. So this one comes to us from Mandy. And Mandy writes, "Hi, guys. I love the website and podcast. Keep up the great work. I wanted to know about viscosity. Is it just product thickness, or is there something more to it? Thanks." So, Kelly, you had written an article about this, and I know you are very passionate about your feelings on viscosity. Don't get this girl started on a viscosity rant.
Well, viscosity is not just the thickness of a product. There may be some correlation between viscosity and thickness according to what type of thickening agent you're using, but viscosity is the measure of a fluid's internal friction or resistance to flow. So, for example, you can have a very thick material that flows very easily. For example, if you think about honey, is extremely thick. But if I put honey and put it on a spoon, it's going to start to drip off that spoon. Or you can have lava, for instance, which flows, but extremely slowly. So there's differences in between thickness and viscosity. They are not the same. Viscosity is often used for release specifications, for product formulations and raw materials. And it's also used to help product performance. So, for example, toothpaste viscosity, you want the toothpaste to be able to be squeezed out of the tube, so it has to be able to be sheared. But you don't want that toothpaste to drip off the brush. You want it to regain and build so that, you know, you don't have toothpaste all over your sink when you're trying to brush your teeth.
You know, interesting story about this. Okay. So a lot of times before I get in the shower, I'll put my toothpaste on my toothbrush, and then I'll take a shower, and then I'll come back, and then I'll brush my teeth. I don't know why I do that, but sometimes I do. Maybe I just forget. So anyway, so the other day I did that, and the toothpaste was like inside it dripped down into the middle of the brush. wasn't on the surface anymore like I like, you know?
Yes.
I guess that's an example of a toothpaste that wasn't really thickened up again, right?
Right.
Does that ever happen to you?
I usually brush my teeth as soon as I put the toothpaste on the brush, so.
I suppose a lot of people are like that. Okay, so when I was in the lab, we always used the Brookfield viscometer to measure viscosity.
Yeah, I think Brookfield viscometers are the most common because they're easy to get single point measurements very quickly. But however, there are rheometers where you can get much more information about your product behavior, including its yield value.
Wait, yield value?
Yes. Yield value is another important rheological property. Some fluids behave like solids at rest but flow like liquid and decrease in viscosity once the yield point is exceeded. So fluids with a high yield point can easily suspend particles like mica or pigments in cosmetics.
Okay. So yield is... and viscosity, you sort of add those together and you get rheology, is this?
Yes.
Now, there are some of these other ones, like thixotropic. What do you mean by thixotropic?
Thixotropic material's thin.
Wait, you say thixotropic?
Thixotropic.
Because why I say thixotropic. You think it's because we're from different parts of the country?
I think we're both from the Midwest.
That's right, but you're much farther south than me.
Thixotropic materials thin with a constant shear rate but recover their viscosity once that force is removed. A lot of materials are mistaken for being thixotropic, but it's important to remember that thinning occurs at a constant shear rate as opposed to thinning at an increasing shear rate.
Well, this whole viscosity thing, we could go on and on about viscosity, huh?
There are so many facets to viscosity and rheology, especially when you're combining multiple materials for thickening, you get very different properties. But it's important to keep all of these different types of rheological properties in mind when thinking about how to design your product.
Right, and specifically for like emulsions, you need both a rheology modifier and something that will affect the yield value, right?
Absolutely.
Like a suspending agent.
Right. Suspending agents in emulsions give you extra insurance that your emulsion will hold through stability.
Excellent. All right. Well, I hope Mandy now knows that viscosity is not just product thickness. And if you have any questions, feel free to write in. Contact us through ChemistCorner@ChemistCorner.com. Okay, ba-da-ba-da-ba. Are you ready for the fun challenge? We're almost done here.
I'm ready.
All right. Do you remember last week's fun challenge? No, you do not, because you were not here last week.
Yeah.
But I'm certain that you listened to the entire show last week. And if you did listen, you would have heard this challenge. So I'll read it, and then I'll just tell you what the answer was. So last week, the challenge was like this. Perfume manufacturers are bringing out new fragrances for the coming season. Ralph Lauren has 4 new fragrances. Christian Dior has 5, and Givenchy has 2.
Givenchy.
What's that?
Givenchy.
Givenchy? Oh, it's French, right?
Did you call it Givenchy?
Yeah, like it's the Givenchy code, right?
No.
Oh, sorry. Hey, I just make this stuff. I don't know how to talk about it.
Their favorite episode of America's Next Top Model where they asked the girls to pronounce the names of the designers and they did a horrible job.
Wow, so you're saying that I have the pronunciation skills of models?
No, but if you're going to, you know, if you were going to be a model and you're going to be wearing Jean-Paul Gaultier, you should be able to say it.
Oh, that is true. And if you're going to be making them, you should be able to also say it, Mr. Cosmetic Chemist. All right, so the question was... how many new fragrances will be promoted by Yves Saint Laurent?
Perfect. I love their fragrances.
So, do you have an answer to that?
6.
6? Wow, that is correct. Now, how did you come up with that? Well, I guess you probably must have noticed that the 6 is the correct answer. You must have noticed that the number of fragrances that the company came out with was related to the number of vowels in their name. So, Ralph Lauren has 4 vowels. Givenchy. Right, has 2. If you don't count the Y, but sometimes people count Y. So Yves Saint Laurent has six, so that's the answer. All right, so you ready for the new challenge?
I'm ready.
All right, this one is we're going back to the headline. And I'm going to give you three headlines, and two are real and one is fake. So you just got to guess which one is the fake. And now I'm doing a one on skin stories. Hopefully you don't suffer from the curse of knowledge where you know too much and it tricks you up. Sometimes that happens. All right, here are the three headlines. Number one, drinking tea can protect your skin. Number two, playing a musical instrument is good for your skin. And number three, discarded oil used to cook French fries can repair damaged skin.
Oh, let's see. Very interesting.
Yeah, go ahead and talk them out.
Let's see. Drinking tea can protect your skin. And one would think there's antioxidants in the tea and that you're also getting water when you're drinking your tea, which is important for healthy skin. Now, for playing music, do you mean playing music on, say, the radio or listening to it or actually physically playing an instrument?
I'm going to refrain from hints.
Okay, and then French fries. I would tend to think that the oils in French fries might be a little, or used for making French fries might be, if the oil is used, it's oxidized and probably not so useful. Tough one. You know, part of me thinks it has to be French fries.
All right, so which is your guess?
Maybe it's, all right, playing music. I feel like this is like, wait, wait, don't tell me.
Oh, yes. So you're, no, your guess is the French fries, right?
All right, French fries.
French fries. Okay, well, so you agree that the drinking tea is going to protect your skin. And in fact, there is science behind that that says drinking tea does protect your skin. Well, it turns out that playing music is, that's the fake one. Because actually the opposite is true. Playing music is actually bad for your skin.
Oh.
And this is research that they did on people who are in the symphony. You see, it turns out, you know, they have those, they put the violins and the violas on their chins and those, that constant pressing on their skin and their, and they get the rosin on their hands and the oils and stuff. And apparently people who are in the orchestra have a lot of skin problems.
Wow.
So it turns out that that is the fake one. Yeah. So the French fry one is that it turns out in this research they found that the spent oil from French fries was actually shown in skin cultures to heal skin that was damaged.
Very interesting.
So there you have it. A good try, as always.
Yeah.
We'll look forward to next week. Okay, that's it. Just a few quick announcements. You can still sign up for my April 27th class on using the internet productively. And the June 2nd course on beginning cosmetic chemistry. You can just do this by going to scconline.org through the Society of Cosmetic Chemists. Also, we continue to work on launching our online training program, which should be ready at the end of March. So keep listening and check the Chemist Corner website for more information. Do you have anything, Kelly, anything coming up?
The 2010 Annual Scientific Seminar from the SCC will be June 3rd and 4th in Long Island, New York.
Oh, that'll be a fun one. I'm going to go. I hope I'll see you there.
Hopefully I'll be there.
As always, if you have questions and comments about cosmetic science or the show, go to chemistcorner.com and leave your feedback there. Also, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and connect with both of us on LinkedIn if you care to. Just look at the About page on Chemist Corner for more details. Do you hear the out music going now, Kelly?
I do. It's time to go.
It is time to go. All right. Do you have any last words?
Yes. Thank you for helping make the world a more beautiful place through cosmetic chemistry.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Now, go make a difference.